Today, we begin the process of examining each piece of the armor we must put on in spiritual warfare. There is an outfit which is prescribed for our battle, and we are to put on the whole outfit for our protection against the cunning craftiness of our opponent, the devil. He is an unprincipled fighter. He is treacherous and malicious in his fight with us. He doesn't consider the vast experience he has had and the little we have had, but he fights us with the intention of crushing us and bringing us to spiritual nothingness. Yes, his fighting is malicious, and he will fight with us at any cost to crush us. And so the Word of God admonishes us to put on each piece of the armor that is intended for our deliverance and protection, because the enemy, as we said before, is what I will describe as a dirty fighter. The devil does not fight clean. He doesn't follow established rules of engagement. He is a dirty fighter. And this is not to scare you, but it is to prepare you and help you to understand that no matter how dirty he fights, if you put on the whole armor of God and follow God's instruction contained here in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, you will be able to come out safely and successfully. But do not be afraid of this battle. The Lord is with you while you are with him, and greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. The ones who are with us are more than the ones who are with them, meaning the devil and his cohorts. Those with us are more than them, so they are outnumbered for the glory of God. And once you and I stay on God's side, we have nothing to be afraid of. Our first and foremost piece of defense is referred to here in Ephesians 6 as the girdle of truth. Let us keep in mind that Paul was a prisoner at the time of this writing. He watched the Roman soldiers as they in turn guarded him. He observed their elaborate safety outfit, and no doubt he drew inspiration from God to see and to note the pieces of military dress. And he probably took time to inquire and to learn the reason for the use of each piece of armor. Paul, we could surmise, was the type of guy who would like to ask questions with wisdom and understanding that he may learn. First, the scripture talks about the girdle or the belt or the buckle. The soldiers venturing into conflict would have this girdle fastened about their loins, covering the area of the abdomen as far down as to the area just below the top of the thighs. It was a close-fitting piece of the soldier's outfit, made specially from thick material, leather, or some sort of tough material, and it was shaped like a short skirt. It gave protection to the pelvic area and the lower abdominal area, behind and before. Although it was called a belt, in some places it was rather a covering of leather or somewhat similar material, broad enough and strong enough to offer sufficient protection and resistance to any blow or force that might be struck in that area of the life and the portion of that soldier, that the area of the loins should be mentioned first in spiritual battle is not without significance. We are fighting against a most treacherous of enemies. He ignores the rules of clean fighting. He is such a person who is out to injure you for life. So he will seek to give you a blow where it hurts or damages you the most. The first place he will seek to strike you is under the belt. We all know that it is not acceptable in a combat for an opponent to strike the other or cause the other to be struck under the belt. Since in the days of Moses, the law of Moses, this was prohibited with strong measure. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 11 and 12, we read, in essence, if men are engaged in a fight against each other, and the wife of one of them draws near to deliver her husband and put forth her hand and takes the opponent by his secret parts, she must have her hand cut off. Look it up, Deuteronomy 25, 11 and 12. Why? Because wounding, striking, or inflicting hurt to an opponent below the belt was forbidden by the law of God communicated to Israel through Moses. It was a no-no to strike the opponent below the belt, because to strike the opponent below the belt has very serious consequences concerning the well-being and the welfare of the person in the fight. And in spiritual warfare, the devil seeks to strike and injure the believer in the area God forbids. The devil always wants to do what God does not allow. The enemy wants to hurt, to corrupt, and to disable his victim in that area where we feel a guilt that never seemed to want to go away or leave us. But thanks be to God, he forgives when we fail in the area of our loins. We'll get into some details further down the street, so please hold on. God forgives us. He washes us. He sets us completely free from the sin of the past. The devil knows that man would carry a guilt all his life through if he gets to strike the man in that area. The devil knows this will hurt us deeply, so he strikes us there. But thanks be to God for the girdle of truth that we wear. We are delivered and we are cured by the grace of God from any hurt the devil may have inflicted on us in that area. We are wearing the girdle of truth. It is not a visible piece of our attire, but we know it is there for our security, our safety, and our peace of mind. In Psalms 51 and verse number 6, David, in that prayer and psalm of penitence, he said, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom." You will recognize from those words that David, after he had been struck by the enemy in that primary target area, the battle raged there for a time. And he came to the realization that God desired truth in the inward part. Let's go a step further. There is this young Joseph from Egypt. In fact, he was from Canaan and he ended up as a slave in Egypt. His master's wife pestered him day after day to come and lie with her. She urged him, and his response was a firm no. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Genesis 39 and 9. Yes, he stands for truth in the inward parts led him to a much higher position in God because he withstood that strong temptation to compromise and to be deceitful in the inward parts, so to speak. Yes, God is a rewarder of those who seek him diligently. The girdle of truth kept in place with a strong hand, so to speak, a tight hold, prepared Joseph and all others for greatness and progress and blessing in God. Joseph allowed the girdle of truth to remain firmly about his loins, and he refused to compromise with his master's wife. Now, there are at least three other important functions that take place in the area of the loins, and the enemy knows that if he disrupts those operations that take place there, he will render the victims useless and helpless. Let me run through these functions very quickly, and I will say enough to cause you to think as adults and to imagine what Paul the Apostle and the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us all. In the area of the loins, we have the reproductive organs. The enemy who is wrestling against us will not think twice to hurt the opponent in that area by hurling a huge stone on the opponent or stomping the opponent with his vicious military sandals. He will do everything to crush the opponent there, because once the opponent is wounded in that area, he is disabled. He cannot fight in any future battle. It renders him incapable of even being productive for God's kingdom. He renders the opponent unfruitful. He puts the opponent in such a place that there is no spiritual growth, no expansion, no progress, no increase. He renders the opponent useless, like a tree that is taking up a position in the garden and not bearing any fruit. A vine that yields neither flower nor fruit, just occupying space, just encumbering the ground. Read the account in Luke chapter 13 and verse number 7. Jesus said to us in John 15 and 15, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. How is your production line going in terms of fruit bearing for the master? Are you growing in grace? Are you sowing the precious seed of the word? Are you that light of the world? Are you allowing your light to so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven? Are you living a witnessing life, a soul-winning life? Are you producing fruit for your Heavenly Father? Are you influencing others for Christ? Or has production dropped to a much lower level than you ever dreamed because the enemy has done you hurt in that area? He used somebody to say discouraging words to you, or to act in an unchristian way toward you, and you are feeling it. And because of that, you are saying, I'm not going to do anything because this person stood in my way. But Paul tells us here, put on the whole armor of God. And part of that armor is the girdle of truth. Put it on and go fight the good fight of faith. Your reward is going to be secure. Your reward is going to be sure. Fight that fight. Don't allow what was said or what you have heard or what you think somebody else thinks about you to prevent you from producing fruit for God. Go and bring forth fruit, and fruit that will remain. Go and witness. Go and shine your light. Let your light shine before men and win souls to Christ at any cost. The devil would like to discourage you, and that is where he attacks you first. He doesn't want you to be a fruit bearer. He wants you to be barren. He wants you to occupy space. He wants you to just hang in there and be a number to be counted. But we are more than numbers. We are laborers together with God. We are workers. We are producers. We are soul winners. The next important process that occurs in the area of the loins is the process of digestion. They tell us that digestion is completed in the area of the intestines. The intestines process the food we eat and turns it into bodily nutrients and nourishment for our health, our growth, and our physical well-being. If the enemy inflicts injury in that area, damaging the intestines, then food intake cannot be properly processed to provide us with the elements that must work for our health and our well-being, yea, even for our very life. If the enemy wounds us there, hurts us there, injures us there, it will be only a matter of time before we die of starvation. And the devil knows this. And so the first place he wants to strike us is in the area where spiritual digestion occurs for the nourishment and the well-being and the endurance of the opponent. The devil wants to strike us where we will end up dying of spiritual starvation. They taught us in school years ago, food makes us grow. It repairs the worn-out tissues wasted by activity or illness. If the enemy succeeds in curtailing the process of food digestion, the body will suffer starvation and become weak and become susceptible to all manner of diseases and illness and finally death. Our adversary's objective is not merely disablement. That's not his main objective. His objective is total destruction. Keep on the girdle of truth. Feed on the word of truth. Meditate on the word of truth night and day. Esteem the word of truth more than your necessary food, more valuable to you than gold or silver or precious stones. Devour the word. Crave the word. Search the word. Eat the word. The word of truth. Digest it. Live the word. Because the devil would like to cause us to have an inability to assimilate God's word. Take that word, meditate upon it, read it, Close your eyes and think upon the implications of it. There is so much there in the Bible, 66 books. You have the book of Psalms, you have the Gospels, you have the epistles. You can meditate on so many things in the Word. Why don't you start with the Psalms, begin at Psalm 1, and take your time and read and let that Word sink into your spirit. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the living God. Then the third and final process that takes place in the area of the loins, about which area we are supposed to be wearing the waist-high girdle of truth. In this area, the process of waste disposal takes place, and the proper functioning of the waste disposal system will add to the quality of our life and health. In fact, there must be a proper, regular, and meaningful process of waste disposal in our system. God has made us that way. When serious injury takes place in that area, the process of body waste disposal is seriously hindered and halted. There is absolute need, great need, for regular movement, or else the body would not be able to dispose of the waste, and the accumulation of waste is going to be injurious to health. Malfunctioning here is dangerous because the body ends up retaining what it should be disposing of. What a spiritual implication we find in this. Storing up iniquity in the heart, withholding your forgiveness of someone who has wronged you, retaining grudges and jealousies and envyings and hatred are attitudes that are poisonous to our spirit. You must forgive. You must release the ones who have wronged you. You must be happy to let them go free and not to hold it against them forever. No, not at all. God has freely forgiven you, and in like manner, you must be willing to freely forgive others. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Jesus said, and forgive us our trespasses, as in the same manner as we forgive others their trespasses. Unforgiveness is a sin. Holding unforgiveness against somebody in our hearts is a serious offense. We should freely forgive those who offended us. How much that person hurt you, you say, Pastor, they hurt me, really hurt me, I felt it. But no matter how hard, the Lord expects you and me to forgive them. Paul, in Colossians 3, 12 and 13, if you do not forgive, God cannot forgive you. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Here it is, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. That is Colossians, Colossians 3, verse 12 and 13. We are all in the kingdom today because God has forgiven all of us our sin. And God has said to us, each one of us, none excepted, he has said that we should be willing and ready to forgive others, as we say, at the drop of a hat. forgive. And we pray every day, don't we? And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. God expects us to be forgiving toward one another, even to show love towards those who have made themselves our enemy. Jesus said, love your enemies. Rid your soul, spirit, heart, and mind of the sin of unforgiveness, else that sin will keep you from seeing the Lord's face, his face of love and mercy and grace. Put on the girdle of truth and let truth rule and reign in your heart, in the inward parts, so to speak, deep down in your soul. And his grace will help you and deliver you so that you could do and be what God wants you to do and what he wants you to be. So this has been a very straightforward lesson today. And what has happened? We can see this in the natural things, the spiritual lessons that God wants to communicate to us. Put on the whole armor of God. And first and foremost is the girdle of truth. So let truth be your bond. Let truth be your guide. Stand on truth. Live by the truth. Walk in the truth. So let me read that verse once more. In verse 14 of Ephesians 6. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Let truth support you. Let us love one another in truth. Let us speak the truth one to another. Let us be sincere. Let us be honest with God, with ourselves, and with one another. Father, we thank you today for this word, and we thank you that you are teaching us that we should support ourselves in this conflict with the girdle of truth. Have your own way in our lives and teach us not only to speak the truth, but to live the truth and to walk in truth. Help us. You are our judge, and we want to be fair and right and just before you. Help each one of us who may be weak. Help each one of us who may have been wounded in the area of the loins. We ask that you will help them to find forgiveness. You will give them forgiveness. You will take away guilt. And you will transform their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, and amen.